transporting us into the jungle on a truck, and the truck that I was in, I happened to be riding in the front, and we ran over a mine, and the mine had a delay in it, and it got the truck, and the young man got wounded, and I was out there with him, and while he was laying there in pain, and the commanding officer had come up and kneeled down beside him. And that young man, he wasn't thinking about his wounds, but he had gotten word from home that his dad had cancer and was dying, and he told his commanding officer, "Please, don't call home and tell them that I'm wounded, because it will kill my dad." You see, his thoughts wasn't on himself, but it was on his father. I thought that was so touching that he would even think, you know, here this man is wounded, and he would even think of home at that moment. There were so many tragic things, so many times that we saw those things. Fallen brothers. This body bag after body bag lined up. Those memories stay with you. God took me to school. I guess I kind of felt like Jeremiah a little bit when Jeremiah went to the potter's house. I've been in 3 funerals in less than a month. 2 of them I preached. 1 of them I was just there. One of them was not so good. And I listened to the memories of the people that people shared. The first one I preached was my cousin. I opened the floor up to anyone would like to say anything. Sometimes you have to be careful with that. The young man stood to his feet and he began to curse his dad. His dad was dead. And people looked at me like, "What are you going to do?" I didn't do anything. I just sat there and let him vent. He got it out. He sat back down and he stood back up, and then he had something good to say about his dad. Those memories that were there. The next 2 was entirely different. Yesterday I preached at my buddy's funeral. It was entirely different. The one I went to between those 2 was entirely different. The memories, all those memories, all those things that people stood up and said, all those things that the ministers said and were touching. And they were in memory of what they had heard these people talk about, the things they had done, the accomplishments and stuff like that. And the one that I was in was my uncle had passed away. And while I was sitting there, I don't know why God does me this way, but it's in some of the most unique places, he gives me a message. There have been times I've been in a shower when I had to preach, and God would give me a message. He would give me a scripture. I'm sitting in a funeral. I'm sitting and listening to the ministers preach in remembrance of these people, and God speaks a message to me. You know, it makes no difference where it comes from or how he gives it. You receive it, and you give it like he gives it. So if you've got Bibles today, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Paul here he's given the Hebrews here his concluding remarks to them. And in the 7th verse is where I'm going to kind of share a lot with you. Remembering your leaders, the one who spoke the word of God to you. Now, all of us have memories. Jim, would you mind getting me a bottle of water, please? I don't know why my mouth is so dry this morning. I know nobody else has that problem. But before we get into the Word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today that we can come and gather in Your name, Lord. Father, that we can share Your Word today, Lord. Father, that we can look into Your Word, God, and glean from You, Lord, the things that You have for our hearts and our lives today, God. And Father, we know today, Lord, Father, that You're with us and will be with us, Lord, even unto the end, Lord. God, we pray that Your anointing would be upon Your servant, that I would speak Your words with the wisdom of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Spirit of God and not with that of man, that I may glorify You and not man today, Lord. Touch our hearts with Your word today, God, that we may worship You, that we may glorify You, God, that we may lift our hearts in praise unto You, the lover of our soul, the one who laid His life down a ransom for us, that we may have life and have it everlasting. Father, to You be the glory this day, Father. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's look at Hebrews 13, 1 through 9. Thank you, sir. Yes, indeed. Hebrews 13, 1 through 9. I felt like I just preached. I did yesterday. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Now, we can take a lesson from that, can't we? God is telling us to keep on loving one another. That's what we need to do, don't we? We need to love. How many of you love your neighbor? Look at your neighbor and say, you know, I love you. Now, did you say that because you meant it, or you said it because I told you to do it? You ever stop and think about that? Do you ever tell people I love you and not mean it? Well, I got to, because if I don't, they're going to think I got something against them. And I don't. I really don't like them that much, but I'll tell them anyway. We should never do things like that, should we? We should love one another. That's what Paul is telling these Hebrews here. He says, keep on loving each other as brothers. You know what? Love brings unity, don't it? It does. It brings unity. You love your wife. You love your husband. Let me tell you something. If you didn't, there wouldn't be any unity there, would it? You know one thing? My mother and father loved each other. I'll tell you one thing. If you said something to one of them, you better look out, the other one was going to hit you right in the back of the head. My dad went out to the house one night with a baseball bat after a young man because he had cursed my mother. And he had nothing on but his underwear. He got out of his bed. He heard what was going on outside, but he says the only reason I didn't get him was because he drove off before I could get there. Yes, indeed. That's unity. That's love. You ain't going to talk to my wife like that and get by with it. No, indeed. Paul said, love one another. Lift each other up. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Anybody ever entertained an angel? That was people in the Bible that did and didn't even know it. Now, I've heard stories and I've seen things happen, and it makes you think sometimes, what in the world's going on? How many of you entertain strangers? My granddaddy was a man that would entertain people. I can remember my dad telling me stories of how he would bring people home. Just out of the blue, he would bring people home, set them down and feed them, put clothes on them, send them on their way. And I've never even met the people before in his life, but he would do those things. He says also, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. In other words, what he's talking about here, those that were in prison because of their faith. You know, how many of you remember those on the mission fields and those that are gone before us? that are spreading the gospel. When you have your daily prayer, or if you have daily prayer or your devotions and stuff, how many of you remember these people? These people are out there spreading the gospel. Those back in those days, they were put in prison for those things. And there are people today that are persecuted all over the world. There's people today that are suffering persecution because of the gospel's sake. Here Paul says to remember them as if you were one of them. And those, he said, who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Anybody ever been mistreated? Yeah, you stop and think about that. Paul says, remember them as if it was you. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, neither will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, the seventh verse here. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ the same is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to go back to that seventh verse. Remember your leaders, or somebody who spoke the word of God to you. Do you remember who witnessed to you? Do you remember the things that you learned from people? You know, I told you I was in three different funerals. And each one of those funerals, you know, one of them, the one that I preached, but the other two was a little different. Well, I preached both of them. But when I opened the flow up to let people share what they remembered about these people, And they begin to share and they begin to talk. I remember my uncle when I went to that funeral. Some of you were there, and there was a 90-year-old pastor was there that used to be one of our pastors. He was still full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, even at 90 years old. His memory had faded a little bit, but when he began to get up and talk and begin to speak, floods of memory began to come back to me of the things that man had taught me many, many years ago and had stuck with me all down through the years. And a lot of times I found myself getting myself out of trouble because I remembered what he taught me. That man taught me how to witness to people. That man taught me about the Holy Ghost and fire. He taught me a lot of things, how to trust in God. He taught me faith and things like that, how to trust God. He brought to mind one time, he says, I remember one time that God had told him to build something out here in the front of the church. He says, we had no money. He said, and I told the people that we were going to do it. And somebody says, how are we going to finance this? He says, I don't know. He said, but I got pick and shovel and said, anybody wants to join me, we're going to start. And he began to dig and to shovel and began to dig the footer for what he wanted to build. And God made a way. The Word of God says to imitate their faith is what it says here. To imitate. Remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Praise God. Imitate their faith. I can remember my parents, man. I remember them many years when they gave their life to Christ. The faith that they had in God, that taught me something. That taught me when I was in need or when things were not going well to get on my knees. I remember the prayers. I can remember my mother praying and my dad praying. I mean, they prayed out loud. They didn't get down and just whisper a little prayer. They got down on their knees and began to call on God. And I saw the hand of God move, and it instilled something in me. I remembered those things, and I began to imitate those things. I remember when we were children years ago. We were children years ago. We would come to church and how many of you remember Oral Roberts? He used to have tent meetings in Roanoke years ago. I don't know whether you knew that or not. And I can remember as a child, a little bitty child, my mom and dad would take us to those things. They would work in those up there helping those people. And we would see all this. Well, we would come back home as children. We would go to one of our relatives' house that lived right down the road here. And they had a big warehouse over there. Well, several of us cousins would get together. And we would get under that warehouse. And we would imitate what we had saw. Man, we had one of them was a preacher, and we had some of the ladies that were over here crying, and one here was slain in the spirit. I'm telling you, man, we was imitating what we saw, and our parents didn't know what we was doing, and they would come here and holler, "Get out of that building!" If they only knew what we was doing. We was imitating what we had saw. Those things left an impression on our hearts. I'm telling you it did. And we remember. And I listened to that 90-year-old pastor and I began to listen to him. Oh, I'm telling you, it was good. It was good. Even at 90, he told the people, he said, "You know something? I've asked God to let me live to 99 and then the rapture can take place. I want to live 9 more years," he said. Then I remember another pastor of ours. And this is Memorial Day. It's fitting. I don't know why God, you know what? I had no plans of preaching anything on Memorial Day. But how many of you know I'm like the old 90-year-old pastor? He said, "I've told God a lot, but he don't listen to me." Now, I'm the same way. I've told him a lot. "Lord, you know we ought to do it this way," but he never listens. He always does it his way. And I am glad. Amen. Yes, indeed. I like it when God comes in and does something off the cuff. Yes, indeed. It's good, isn't it? Oh, praise God. My Lord and my Savior. When is the last time God has done something in your life off the cuff? You was taken back a little bit, you know. "Wow, where did this come from?" Oh, praise God. Those who sacrificed their time, they gave their lives to the work of the Lord. We owe them this, don't we? We owe them. Sure we do. We owe them this memory. "They laid my uncle to rest, and I began to," they called up one of the children there. They called him up on the platform. He had a little something he wanted to read. And he began to remember, he began to talk about his, in his younger days as my uncle, he wasn't my uncle's child, but my uncle had helped raise him. So he did a good job with him. And the things that he said, the things that he brought out, he said, "I remember," he said, "I remember seeing him at night on his knees praying." He said, "And I remember he would take us to church," and he said, "and then we would have devotions at home." He went through all these things, and just, oh, he was just such a wonderful memorial service there in memory of what he had said. Those were examples, and the Word of God teaches us that we need to set examples that our children will follow. That's what the Word says. We need to set these examples. What? Let me ask you a question. When we're going to all face this one day. Somewhere or another, we're going to all be stretched out somewhere. What will you be remembered for? Is a question. What would you like to be remembered for? You know, I had to write an essay one time, and that was, and I thought I was going to get to pick what I wanted to write on. And they said, "Well, you got to write an essay." So, they said, "We're going to give you a list of things to write on, but we're going to tell you what you're going to write on." miles. I don't know why they gave us a lift. But then they told us what we had to write on. How I would like to be remembered was what they gave us. My question to you today, how would you like to be remembered? What kind of memory would you like for your family or your church or people when you are laid there and people are reminiscing your life in front of them? What would you like to be remembered for? Would you like to be remembered for your faith in God and how that how he worked through you and what they saw, the life that they saw? The Word of God says we are living epistles. Living epistles. Letters. Seen and read of all men. What do people see in your life? Do they see Jesus? Or would it be like my cousin's son? I had another cousin one time. I know these things are not good. I know these things are not good. But you know what? God brings them to your memory for a reason. I had another cousin one time, a young lady. And I won't call her name. Some of you know her. But it's so much bitterness in that heart. In her heart. So much bitterness. She said, called me one day, she said, I want to tell you something. And I'm not trying to be crude today either. I'll just use the initials. I won't say the words. She said, when I stood over my daddy's coffin, she said, I looked at him and I thought to myself, USOB, you finally died. That's rough. That's crude. That's the way she felt in her heart. And she began to tell me some of the things that I knew some of the things. I knew some of those things. What a sad memory. And to this day, it's a plague for her. And she's allowed that to separate her from God and from the love of God. And that's a sad thing. I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know. I just prayed with her. And that was all I could do. What do you tell somebody like her? Though human leaders have much to offer, we must keep our eyes on Christ at all times. Never, never should we lean upon the human comprehension, but Christ is our ultimate leader. Just like, unlike any human leader, he will never change. He never changes, and we can trust in our unchanging God. He doesn't change one bit. We change, don't we? And I hear people say, well, you know, that's what went on back in those days. We're living in a new day. We need to imitate those things. Let me tell you something. I saw some stuff in the church back in the day. And I know people say, oh, well, here we go. We're going to hear it again, but the way it used to be. Yes, you need to hear it again the way it used to be. Because I want to tell you something. I saw some stuff back in those days. I saw people calling on God. I saw people laying their hands on God. I saw people laying all around the altar, slain in the spirit. I saw people getting filled with the Holy Ghost and people getting saved. The Word of God says, imitate these things. That's what's wrong with us. Somewhere or another, it's gone by the wayside and it's not important to us anymore. But it is important to God that we imitate the faith that we saw in those who spoke the Word of God over us and learn everything that we can learn about our Lord and our Savior and watch Him move in our hearts and our lives and in your children's life. I'm telling you, our kids are growing up in a society today that is so immoral that it isn't funny. It makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like a walk in the park. And they are teaching your children all kinds of things. What are you teaching them at home? What are they seeing in you that they can fall back on? And remember, Mom and Dad didn't believe this away, but I saw them praying and seeking God for these things. It's sad. I reminisce with this 90-year-old pastor. He says, "Brother, it's sad. I hear no more preaching about the baptism in the Holy Ghost anymore. I hear none of that anymore." Some people think it's not important. Let me tell you something. When we get to the point where we think we are smarter than the Holy Spirit, you have lost it. We need that presence. We need it in our midst. I told them I won't go tell you what happened on Wednesday night, and I'm not. I'm just going to tell you, you should have been here. Whew. Ain't that right, Dreamer? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God come down. Some people look at you and say, "What do you mean the Spirit of God come down?" You've never been in one of those where the rain of the Holy Spirit comes down? You ever been in a service where you see the wave of the Spirit of God? People in ball games thought they come up with a wave. Shoot. And Pentecostal people knew about that years back. I've seen it in the services, man. A church full, and it would start over here and just wave right on across. Somebody would get happy in the Lord and raising their hands and praising God, and the next thing you know, somebody would pat their foot, and it was over here, and the next thing it was there, and the next thing it was spread all around. Then it would go back and forth. People praising God. I remember those things. I'm almost 70 years old. I'm closer to 70 now. I'm 69 now. Whew. But I remember those things, and those are good things to remember, because I want to see those things in my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. My children were taught the way of God. Now, if they depart from it, it's on them and not on me. They were taught. And I thank God for the ones that are serving God. Praise God. Now, they might not be as excited about God as I am, but you know one thing? They know and they've seen their dad get happy in the Lord. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing. I've held my son when he was little. I've held him in my arms and danced in the Spirit with my hands raised up and praising God. They need those things. It didn't scare him one bit. We imitate those things. I remember going to Florida one time seeing one of our former pastors. Lisa and them went with us. How many of you like to sit and learn from people that know the Lord, know the Word of God? I'll tell you right now, that Ron, I sit and listen to him this morning. He taught my Sunday school class. He's gone now, so I can pick on him. But Ron, I'm going to tell you right now, I like to listen to that man. I like to listen to Ben. They know the Word of God. I'm telling you they do. They can pull out some of those nuggets, man, and them little golden bits of information out of there that sometimes we don't see. Went to see this former pastor, and we stayed with him, and I was good friends with him. And he would tell us. I remember going down one time. His daughter was getting married, and I called the house. They were all gone. His daughter answered the phone, and she says, "Fred, what'd you need?" I said, "Where's your dad?" She says, "What do you need him for?" I said, "Well, we need to find a good hotel somewhere." She said, "Hall? No. She said, "Our parents have already told my mother's sisters and their relatives they've got to get them a place to stay because y'all are staying with us." And that's how close we were. So when I got there, he said, "No, you're not staying in the hotel." He said, "When y'all come in, you make yourself at home. We don't have to wait on you. Family comes in, they expect us to wait on them. We ain't doing it." So, but every day we would go, every morning we would get up. This man he's gone now. He's passed on. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But these things, oh man, I'm telling you, the things that every morning we would have Sunday school. The whole week we had Sunday school every morning, didn't we? It was good. We would get up before he would, and we would be sitting at the dining room table, sitting there waiting. He'd come on in. He said, "What you guys waiting on?" "We're waiting on you. Come on in, brother, sit down. I want to hear some word." Oh, I'm telling you, it was sweet. It was sweet. They called him Mr. Bible. That's what they called him down there. He'd worked for one of the uh, He had worked for one of the colleges down there. He taught in it. That's what his nickname was, Mr. Bible. I'm going to tell you something. I learn a lot from these pastors by listening to them and imitating their faith. We owe it. We owe it to our leaders who are over us. We owe it to them to give them respect and pray for them and seek God for them. And not let anything come between that. And bind our faith in unity and love for one another. Philippians 4:9 said, "These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." This is Paul talking here, talking to the Philippians. Listen to the words here. He says, "These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." The next thing he says, do. Do it. Don't just sit and listen and hear something and not do it. The word of God teaches us in James, don't be just hearers of the word only, but be doers also. You know, it's an easy thing to sit down and listen to somebody else expound on the word of God, and you listen and you learn, but you never do anything with it. You never imitate it. You never get up and do anything, but you just sit there. It's just like sitting down and eating a meal. You're satisfied, so you get up and go and sit down in a lounge chair. And you get fat, dumb, and happy from it. But when we begin to exercise, we begin to lean down a little bit, don't we? And we begin to draw from the things that we've heard. And when we are confronted with things, or when we are out in the world and God gives us an opportunity to share the hope that lieth within us, we have something to draw from, don't we? I remember that 90-year-old pastor the first time I went out knocking on door to door. Oh, man, I was with him. I was so glad, man, I went to preach. I ain't got to worry about a thing. He goes up the first four doors, he knocks. And man, he talked to the people, it looked so good. And the fifth door we went up on, he knocked on the door and he stepped back. He said, "You take this one." Oh. I muddled through it, but I got through it. But it taught me something. The next time I was ready. Oh, yes, I was ready. I knew that man had faith. All these ministers that I've sat under, I've sat under the ministry of every pastor that's been in this church. Everyone from the beginning. Even at an early age, I remember that very first pastor. I remember the faith that he had. I remember the preaching and the things that happened in the church through every one of those ministers. There were some good sermons. There was some good training there, some good leadership. Let me tell you something. When you're in combat, you remember your training. It automatically kicks in. It just automatically. Even today, I can find myself somewhere outside in the public, and if there's a disturbance, automatically survival kicks in. Automatically. Somebody's saying, "What are you going to do if this happens this way?" I said, "Well, you see that sugar bowl right there?" I said, "If he comes this way, he's going to get it right upside the head." You know what? We should be that way with the Lord's word, shouldn't we? We should be looking for what's around us, looking and seeing who don't know Jesus. I talked to a young man yesterday. He told me, he said, "I'm facing jail." It was a man's son. He said, "I'm facing jail." He said, "And my mother has told me that she doesn't even want me around here if I'm going to act like this." He had been drinking, and she had already shared with me some of the things. He was sad. His dad had looked out for him a whole lot. Dad had done a lot for him. I shared the gospel with him. There was another minister there. He shared the gospel with him. And I told him before I left yesterday, I said, don't forget what I've told you. And I hope somewhere between now and then, that he will remember what I said to him. And that he will change his heart and give his life to Christ. I hope that happens. And I pray for him that it will happen. That man, one guy stood up yesterday. It happened to be the brother-in-law. It happened to be his brother-in-law. And his brother-in-law come up. He was the first one that wanted to say something. And I told him after he finished, I said, and I'm supposed to follow you. He laid it all out about this friend of mine. I've worked with this man for a number of years. I knew his life well. I was with him 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. We worked together. We retired the same day. We had the same job titles. He was just a little bit above me. This man was smart. This man was, he was as smart as a tank. He never got the recognition that he deserved from the company. There would be times that they would call him in a room full of lawyers and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That would be a problem. And he would take the floor. And when he finished, everything was solved. Everything was over with. But he also was a compassionate person who cared about people. He had love and compassion for people. His brother-in-law stood up. He said, this man saved my life. You see, you never know whose life you're going to touch. You never know what your life means to someone else. When you live it to the fullest and don't be a hypocrite. Let people see God in you. He said, now physically, I'm not talking about the physical saving my life. And he began to tell a sad story. He said, when I was young, he said, in my younger days, I had no examples. I had nobody. To teach me anything. I couldn't even bring my friends to my house, he said. I was just out on my own, he says. A young man, very young man, still in grade school. No leadership whatsoever. He said, until I met Preston. And he began to talk about how this man had invested in his life and what he had done for him. He said, I knew nothing about school, going to college, or anything. He said it was, after he'd grown up some, he said it was during the Vietnam era. He said, and this man told me, he says, I'm going to tell you what to do. He says, so you can finish your education, you get your education. And he told him what to do. He joined the Navy, and after he got out of the Navy, he said, I went to school under the GI Bill. He said, I have a college degree, he said. All because of this man, he said, investing in my life. Whose life are you investing in? What kind of examples are you setting? Do people see, do your children see, or do people see Christ in you? 2 Thessalonians 3:9, Paul here says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Are you examples of your children? Do they see you pray and seek God? You know, we don't do things to be seen. We don't do those things to be seen or to stand out. But we do these things out of our hearts for the love of God. And the love that God, the things that we've seen other people do, the things that our leaders have taught us, the people that spoke the gospel to us and led us to God and invested their time and sacrifice for us. We need to imitate those things. Not to be slothful. Not to be slothful at all. Hebrews 6:12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Not to be idle. Paul warned about against idleness. Not doing anything. It's easy to come in and sit down, isn't it? And listen to someone else. It's easy to go somewhere else where somebody has built something, a program or something, and fall right into that. How do you know that God's not calling you to build a program? How do you know that God's not leading you to do something instead of just going in where somebody has already labored and worked? It's easy to do that, isn't it? But it's another thing when you step up to the plate and say, hey, you know what? I feel like God is calling me to this. Would you like for me to take that and let me see what I can do with Christ? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people that will stand up and step up and say, hey, you know what? I think I can do that. With God's help, I think I can do that. I think I can do those things. There was a young man, there was a young evangelist that used to travel around years ago. He went to India for a lot. I don't know where he's at now. I remember him in my younger, when I first got saved, he would come here and he would preach for us. David Grant, I believe his name was David Grant. I don't know if anybody knows him or not. David Grant was reminiscing and he began to tell us the things about his dad. And he says, I was getting ready to go to India. He said, here we are in the airport. And he said, my dad was a minister. He said, and my dad always prayed for everything. He said, so here we are, has people everywhere. He said, and the people were hustling and bustling, and we're standing there, and my dad says, I'm going to pray. He said, uh-oh. He said, and all of a sudden, my dad throws his hands up and says, God! Right out there in the middle. He said, people were stopping and looking. He said, my dad covered everybody on the plane in the blood. He covered the plane in the blood and everything. People said, you want me to imitate that? What's wrong with it? Are you embarrassed? God's not going to embarrass you. He's a perfect gentleman. Yes, he is. You think, what's the significance of that? And what's that got to do with your sermon? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let me finish the story. See, that's what happens. A lot of people get upset, you know, when they ain't got nothing to do with it, sermon. Well, you know what? He happened to get on the plane after all of that. And he sat down beside a businessman. And the businessman looked at him. He said, that was your dad. He said, yeah. David said, man, I felt a little, here it goes, you know. And he said, the man looked at him with tears in his eyes. He said, you know something? When your dad prayed for you, that brought back to my memory. He said, my dad used to pray the same way. He said, and I'm so far from God. And David Grant led that man back to Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You never know where God's going to put you. Remember the training that you had and let it kick in when God places you in places that you don't know where you're going to be. Be ready at all times. Remember the faith of those that taught you the Word of God, and when it comes time, imitate that faith. Give them the word of God and let God take it and work with it. Let him work with it. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing when God places you in the path of someone. And you see that person bow their heads and give their lives to Christ. Children remembering what their parents said to them years back when they were young. How their parents prayed over them and in later years would give their life to Christ. How many of you remember your parents praying? How many of you remember your parents telling you the word of God? How many of you remember sitting under sermons of pastors that have gone on and you remember those things that they taught you? Oh, I remember. Oh, let me tell you something. I remember Sunday school teachers. I remember some of the things they said to me. They never left me. They never left me. Sister Coughlin was my primary Sunday school teacher. Now, you know, primary, that's young. I'm amazed that I can even remember back that far. But you know what? She taught me well. She taught me well. My mother was my wife's beginner teacher. And my wife remembers that. I used to teach my wife too. But she remembers some of the things. And I remember Sister Coughlin. I remember those lessons that she would teach us. She told us, you can't hide from God. And I raised my hand. She said, what is it? I said, if I get in that trunk, he can't see me. She said, it makes no difference where you go. God can see you. God can see you. She said. You know what? That stuck with me down through the years. Whatever I'm doing, God's watching. That's right. Whatever I'm thinking, he knows. Yes, indeed. And then there was, as a teenager and a little older, there was a Sunday school teacher that was full of the Holy Ghost and fire. And that woman would teach us. Man, I'm telling you, I used to love to listen to her teach. I never forgot some of the lessons and the teachings that she taught us. I never forgot those services that we would sit in and see people healed. Man, I'm telling you, it even touched me at an early age. I can remember listening to my mom and dad, and they would talk about the things of God, and there would be something that would well up within me, and I would want to just burst out crying. But I would always hold it back. Until I gave my life to Christ and I remembered those things. I remember laying one night, it goes back to the young man I was telling you about. I was laying in elephant grass in Vietnam, and elephant grass is tall and thick. And I couldn't see the man that was 5 foot away from me. And we had just been attacked. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I was afraid. People say, oh, you big old man like you, let me tell you something. Yeah, you afraid. Sure you are. That's when survival kicks in. When you're afraid, survival kicks in. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and said, if you will give your life to me now, I'll take all of this from you. But I held off. I wish I had. But I remembered. I remembered what God said. Because I had been taught it so long ago. And it was coming back to my remembrance. What a fitting message today for Memorial Day. Remembering those that have sacrificed so much for us and gave the ultimate sacrifice, laid their lives down for us. There are people today that lay their life down for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember them. Yes, we do. Let's stand. You know what, I like it I like it when people, sometimes I'll wear my Marine hat, or sometimes I'll wear my Vietnam.